Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. I'm coming to you today with an episode on the idea of tracing our creative and career, in air quotes, stories. And I'm excited to talk about that because I feel many people around me at the moment are confronting big questions about their work and where it's at and where they should point their energy and attention. And I think it's normal for many of us to wonder, you know, are we far enough? Are things the way we had hoped they would be? Are we maybe behind? What's next? How is technology going to change things? And something that feels really helpful for me is to kind of look back at the bigger picture of the work that you've been doing so far. And I'm not just talking about jobs or your business or any kind of paid work, but really any creative expression that you've had since you were a kid, basically, to better understand what makes you and your work special and human, and to really lean into that even more, because I think that is important moving forward. And it also feels grounding because we remember that we're not these flaky people that change our minds all the time and do all these different things. There are really, for all of us, things that have always been true, whether that's about our values or how we work or what we bring to the table. So yeah, let's talk about that. And before I dive in, just a small announcement, a reminder that at the end of next week, my back to school sale is starting. That's happening once per year. I'm offering 30% off all my courses. There'll be a bundle of courses this year as well with a little bonus, which I'm excited about. And then I'm also offering discounts on my services. So those would be tech and design days, which are usually £450, and they will be £400 then. And these are great if you have an area in your business that you really want to develop. So for example, building your newsletter, optimizing your SEO, creating an ethical marketing strategy, thinking about social media or starting a podcast, maybe updating your systems and how things are automated and work together. So that's something that we can work on together on the day. I really love doing these because I think they can make a big difference for how you move forward. And sometimes having a second pair of eyes and someone who's been doing this for a really long time can really help you see things differently and save time and money in the day-to-day of the running of your business. I'm also offering a discount on my web design packages, but only a few. So the courses, obviously, you can buy as many of them as you like. There's no rush. You can take your time to decide. I don't want to pressure anyone there, but the web design packages will be for winter bookings. And we can have a call in the 2-week window that I do the sale, the back to school sale, and then they'll be offered on a kind of first come first served basis. So yeah, if you're not on my newsletter yet, get on it on my website. If you are on it, look out for my email at the end of next week. I'm excited for that. Okay, so tracing our creative and career stories. Firstly, I'd be curious what comes up for you when you hear the word creativity or career. Is that something that you felt has always been part of your life? Maybe you find the word career icky. Maybe you enjoy something more like livelihood or work, or, you know, whatever feels right for you, I guess. But I wonder, as a kid, did you have ideas about what it would be like to be an adult and to make a living? What did you see your parents do? How did they feel about money and being secure and working? Were you excited about doing some kind of training and working in some kind of field? Or did it feel kind of ambivalent or maybe vague or overwhelming? So that's a good starting point to think about. I'll say that I remember seeing my parents work quite hard when I was a small child. My mom was working night shifts and my dad was working in the day. So I had a sense that they didn't have a lot of overlap between each other during the week. And they, you know, there was always someone with me, but we didn't have a lot of time together as a family. And when I started school, I really loved learning so much. I loved the creative aspects of it. But I don't think that until I was in my late teens, I really started to think about myself as an adult. And that's interesting. I keep asking my friends at the moment because I'm curious, like, when did you start imagining yourself as an adult? And some people say, you know, they haven't really until their 20s. Some people say they imagine something like moving to a city or maybe going to school or maybe dating someone, but that all of that was pretty vague. And I think that's maybe particularly true for queers because we don't see ourselves represented so much. And I know that's really changing, but, you know, obviously when we were younger, that was still even more lacking than it is now, just to see yourself as an adult in the media and films, on TV and books. So I think for many of us, the future kind of felt a bit vague. And I am also curious for all of us, you know, whether straight or queer or whatever, how our experiences of being in school, being a student in this way, and being asked to kind of learn in these really regimented, very specific ways have affected the way we imagined we would work as adults. Because, yeah, some of us did well, some of us didn't. But it's just such a narrow way of looking at human capabilities, I guess. You know, what happens in school is you study a really broad range of subjects, and they're not often taught in a way that's really exciting and engaging. And I personally don't really remember there being a lot of talk about what it meant to know those things. You know, like, I had a sense in secondary school certainly that I needed to learn some chemistry and some physics and some English and some history, but I didn't really know why, other than that was just what you did, or how that would help me navigate the world when I was older. I didn't really see that connection. And I think I've been told things like, you know, it's important that you learn how to study because whatever you choose to do after school, you're going to have to be quite independent and a good, good self-organized learner. And that did make sense to me, but still it was super vague, and I didn't have much guidance around preparing for the next steps after school, or, you know, doing things like internships or whatever to get experiences that would help me make those choices. And I actually hung out with a friend who has a 13-year-old kid yesterday, and we talked a little bit about school and her experience now, and it's really so different. I was so excited to hear that she's really working on her own project and she gets to follow her own interests, and she really is engaged in conversations that make her feel that this is meaningful for her future, and it's exciting to learn. So anyway, I started working when I was 11. I had all kinds of jobs as a teenager. I sold ice cream, I waited tables, I distributed papers when we still had like papers, I guess, at the weekend. And what else did I do? I did some admin in an ad agency. I babysat a lot. I worked a lot with young children. And I mainly did those things for money. I didn't really experience those as kind of like a way to gain skills or learn more about who I was. And I will say the thing that actually got me thinking much more about what I like to do and why was watching Sex and the City. And I think I mentioned this before, I feel very awkward about that because I would love to have a much more highbrow, interesting, cultured story of how I came to think of myself as a creative person. But this is the truth. As a teenager, from probably 15, I started to watch Sex and the City. And I think, I'm not totally sure, but the first few episodes or seasons, I believe, were filmed in the late 90s. And so it was a very different landscape, obviously. It portrayed a very different way of being. It's set in New York, and that seemed really cool to me. I often watched it in the original audio, but with German subtitles. So it was also a way for me to learn English. And I think when I asked myself, like, what were the messages I got watching that show, Firstly, I think I really felt that learning English was very important for my future. I thought that it would open up a lot of doors, that it would allow me to be part of conversations internationally. I think I got an email account when I was about 12. So while the internet obviously was very different then, I already had a sense that there was this possibility of connecting with the world opening up, but you had to speak English to be part of that. And then obviously I also received a lot of messages around dating and heteronormativity and what it means to be a woman in the world. And I actually, to prepare for this episode, I watched an episode of Sex and the City last night, one of the very early ones. And it was so interesting to see that with really different eyes just from where I am now. And oh gosh, there's so much I could say that makes my feminist heart quite sad, you know, about how women were portrayed, how much it was about buying shoes and finding a husband. But I think when I really dig into why I was attracted to the lifestyle Carrie, the main person, had, who was a writer on the show, she initially had a column for a Sunday newspaper, and then she started to write books, and eventually she has a podcast, and this is now in the follow-up series that was filmed much more recently. So I think what really spoke to me was that she was living by herself. She had this little apartment which felt like a safe haven, and she had this really interesting city life where she got to engage with art and meet new people, but she also had this beautiful retreat place that was all her own. And the reality was that for the first few seasons she was renting this really overpriced apartment and experienced actually a lot of financial instability and stress, I'm sure. And eventually her landlord wants to sell the apartment, and she really is unable initially without significant help from a friend to buy it. And so yeah, in the end, towards the end of the show, she does own the place and she's in a different place. But anyway, and initially she isn't, but I don't think that I really saw that. I just thought, you know, she has this really glamorous creative life, and I love that she got to write about her experiences, and she really, you know, was so in tune with her solitude. So she could spend as much time as she wanted by herself in her apartment. She was reading books and she was writing a lot, and she was taking her thoughts and observations serious. And I thought that was beautiful, that you could be an introvert, you know, who engages with the world on your own terms. She was never working in like a busy cafe or in an open plan office the way I had. And I thought, oh my God, like that must be bliss, right? To have that quiet space and to be paid to share your thoughts about the world. And yeah, that got me into writing. I also wrote a column when I was about 17 or 18 for a local online portal that was kind of covering stories from different neighborhoods in the city that I was living in. I was so proud of that job. I really wanted to develop that part of myself, and I didn't yet understand what it would mean and how difficult it might be to make a living as a writer. But I did a vocational business related training between 18 and 20, which is comparable to a foundation's degree you'd do in the UK. I don't know if there's an equivalent in the US, but or elsewhere. But yeah, I was going to a business college for 2 years, and then I was also working in a company for blocks of 6 weeks at a time, and I was paid to do that. So it was a really accessible way to train after school. I didn't need to take out a student loan. And then after that, I started working in internet startups, and I studied for my first degree at a distance part-time with the Open University, and I paid for that as I kind of went along, so I didn't need to take out a loan. And I could have easily gotten a loan from the German government to go to university, but I think I was the first in my school and in my family to go to university. I didn't have the confidence. It felt really abstract to me to have a loan and pay that back. That seemed scary. And I just also didn't have the certainty about what I wanted to study. And so I decided to do an open degree where you can combine different subjects. And that was a really nice way to be a little bit more playful with my learning and experience different things. And I think in some ways it was very stressful because I almost always had full-time jobs while I was studying, and I still completed that degree in 3.5, almost 4 years. So it was very tight, and I definitely wouldn't want to do that again. But at least I did that without loans, and I was able to experiment and gain some work experience at the same time. I think what was true and still is true for me there is that I feel quite pragmatic in some ways about, you know, what it is to be alive in these times. I deeply and passionately want to challenge the systems that we live under. I really hope capitalism is coming to an end. I think it's destructive to the planet, our souls, the love we have for each other. I don't know why I said that. I think the love we have for each other endures, you know, of course, beyond capitalism, but the way we can care for each other is severely impacted by capitalism. And I wish that to end. But, you know, there's also, I think, and always has been this part of me that's like certain that I can't live as a starving artist. I have lived with a lot of precarious setups in my 20s, precarious housing, a lot of worry about money and just making ends meet and, you know, buying basic things like food and making rent. But I think I also always valued stability and always worked towards that in the way that I could. And that's why I started to work in internet startups and really enjoyed the fast pace of that and the fact that I got to have a lot of responsibility very young. I really loved being organized. I really enjoyed creating systems and working with technology. And I never stayed in those jobs very long. I think the longest was probably like 1.5 years or almost 2 years. So I moved between different roles really quickly, and I felt very overwhelmed with like being in an open plan office and having all these, just so much social interaction every day. At the time, we always had like group chats open. You had to be available for every conversation any minute of the day. There were a lot of meetings, things changed very fast, and it was really overwhelming. I had very little energy for anything else after work. I lived with a lot of people at that time, but I didn't really have capacity to maintain meaningful relationships in the way that I would really have loved to. And so I eventually moved to London when I was 21 for one of those jobs. And then after that, I lived in Berlin for 2 years. And again, lots of moving around, living in different house shares, having different jobs, feeling very restless and very uncertain about myself in the future, wanting to study, but, you know, on value and creativity, but not really having enough money to prioritize that. And in my early mid-20s, I decided to really take a breather there. I had accumulated a lot of work experience at that point, but I hadn't really finished my degree, and I knew I needed more time to do that. So I became an au pair in Brighton for 2.5 years. I lived on a farm. I really loved the gentle pace of that, connecting to nature. I was looking after children about 25 hours a week, and that meant that my housing and food and pocket money was covered. And then the rest of the time I worked as a freelance writer to earn some extra money and to pay for the rest of my degree. And then after that, I did an MA in creative media for a year, which I had a grant for, which was a beautiful year out. I had to take out a little bit of a loan, but it wasn't so big. And that year was gorgeous. I kept writing as a freelancer and kind of built that up. And then when I graduated, I started this business I now have for almost 9 years as a web designer. And yeah, I think now when I have these moments come up for me when I'm like, oh gosh, like who even really am I as a creative person? What has always been true for me? What do I think will endure in the coming or maybe endure isn't the right word, you know, but what is going to continue to be true about my work in the coming decades, no matter what else is changing. I think I see like a lot of grounding, some pragmatism, some just willingness to get stuff done and stay engaged with the process. I also see myself really valuing my free time and my rest and the slowness of building something that has substance and is really well rooted on good foundations and systems. I see myself continuing to be creative and really valuing time to reflect and observe the world and make something meaningful. I continue to really value relationships and building honest community that's not extractive or transactional, but that has its own rhythm and, you know, that's open to change. There's been so much change in how I facilitate community through the pandemic, of course, and now, just now last week, the livelihood community in its current form has come to an end, so I'm thinking a lot about that. And if the last episode, if you're interested, was all about facilitating community online and what I have learned about that. So yeah, I know that will continue to change, but I also know that I really just value the kinds of people I work with and the way that I like to hold space for that. That's also always going to be true. Structurally, I know that I love and need to work from home. That is absolutely non-negotiable to me. I know that commuting and especially being and working in busy places takes so much energy out of me. It's just not worth it for me to try to make that happen. I might, you know, have meetings with people or go to events or workshops, but I know I will always want to work from home. And I also know that I feel quite open and excited about technology. I know there's a lot of shadow stuff coming up around that. And obviously, again, that is in the nature of the economic system that we're living in. But I'm also excited about how technology can make things easier for us, how it can connect us and solve some of the really big problems that we're facing collectively. And I think where I find meaning in my work is that I really love helping people create more sustainable and joyous and creative working conditions for themselves. Having been in all these different jobs and moving around so much, I know how heartbreaking and exhausting it can be to work always at the edge of your capacity and to be constantly overwhelmed and overstretched and unable to see a different kind of future for yourself. And so I think that's why the podcast means a lot to me and why I really love offering the courses I do and building websites for people, because I know those are tools for people to question the way things are and to hopefully find a way to do things differently that's more aligned with who they are and what they need and what their abilities are. And so, yeah, those are the threats I think that will always be there. And so I can say that and, you know, pause here and reflect back on all the times that I've quit and moved to a different country and had no plan and changed my major at university and see that I could know, there was a lot I couldn't know. I needed to gain a lot of experiences, and at the end of the day, they've let me here. I'm still weaving everything in, and so I don't really have regrets, and that's beautiful. So I hope this episode has given you space to think about your own work, career, creative choices, and how they've changed since you were a kid. Just to think about what you imagined growing up, what things would be like, and what you imagine now for the coming decades, and what you imagine will always be true about your work. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate that. If you have a moment, please leave a review. That would be really kind. Thank you so much.